Morning. Today's daf in Shabbos daf Lamed. We are on the bottom of Chaf Tes Amud Beis. We're starting this morning with the Mishnah on the very bottom. Mechabe es haner. Someone extinguishing the Shabbos lich, but he's doing so on Shabbos proper. Mimneishu misliare, mimnei nachri, mimnei lista, mimnei ruach ra'a. So, and someone is doing so because he's afraid of non-Jews and he's threatened and his life is being threatened. Or because of listim of bandits, memnei ruach ra, or because of an evil spirit, memnei achola, or because the person is ill, shiyishan, so that the person can get some more sleep. Potters, in all these cases, he would be exempt. The word exemption, as we've gone over time and again, is somewhere in the middle of the road, meaning it is not mutter, it is not permissible. On the same time, however, it is not an iser deraisa, it's not a malacha. Now, we know that kibui is one of the 39 malachas. We're going to be learning that together in the 7th parak. And over here, there is good justification for him to be mechabe. One of the examples that we just learned together is that the person is a chola. Chola has a little bit of ambiguity to it. A chola could either be a chola sheyesh bo sakana, someone who's critically ill, or a chola she'ein bo sakana, somebody who's not critically ill. The problem with explaining that our Mishnah is talking about a chola sheyesh bo sakana, someone who's critically ill, is that the word potter is going to be somewhat curious and confusing. Because if it's a chol sheyesh bo sakana, so then the word that the Mishnah should use is not pater, but rather mutter. Everything I just pointed out is going to be discussed in the Gemara, so I'm just setting ourselves up so that we get to the Gemara. Kechas al aner, kechas al hashemen. Let's say the person is trying to save his lamp, meaning that the reason why he's extinguishing it right now is that the heat is not going to be good for the lamp, it's detrimental for the lamp. And so he puts it out in order to save the lamp. Or maybe he's trying to save the oil. He doesn't want to burn all throughout the entire oil. So he puts it out in order to save some oil. Or let's say he's putting it out because he wants to save the wick. So in these circumstances, he's putting it out, not because of any danger, but just simply because of financial concern. In all these cases, chayev. The Tanakhama of the Mishnah says that such an individual would be chayev. He'd be liable. Rabbi Yossi poter b'chulan. Rav Yossi says in all these cases, pater, it's exempt, pater of alasar, except for the case where he's trying to save the wick, because if he's trying to save the wick, what he's essentially trying to do is create a coal, and that is the malach of kibui. Kibui is extinguishing, so that you produce something. Over here, the production that you're doing is the wick itself, because now the wick is going to be a better wick in order to facilitate the next lighting. And so therefore, it would be an Issa D'Oraisa to put it out if the preservation is for the preservation of the wick. Much to discuss in the Mishnah over here. We start off with the Gemara. We're in the very top of Lamed Amud Aleph. Midik Tani Sefer Chayiv Shema Min HaRav Yehudahi. Now the end of the Mishnah says that you're going to be chayiv for putting out the fire for all those financial concerns. And so therefore, the end of the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda. Now, what we're making reference to over here is a machlokus that we see time and again throughout our Masechta, and that's the topic of a malacha she'ein etzricha legufa. A malacha she'ein etzricha legufa, without going into too deep a definition, is basically where I'm doing the malacha, but not for its original purpose, its original intent. I'm doing so for an alternative purpose, meaning I'm doing the malacha, I know I'm doing the malacha, but not with its original intent. Under those circumstances, this qualifies as a malacha she'ein etzricha legufa. We have throughout the Masech the machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says on a malacha she'ein etzricha legufa, it's still a malacha, and it still would be carry with it an iser d'araisa, an iser kares. Whereas according to Rabbi Shimon, a malacha she'ein etzricha legufa is pater. If you look at the top Rashi over here, the second Rashi on the Amud, Shema mina Rabbi Yehuda hi, damar malacha she'ein etzricha legufa chayv alaha. Our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The kivui zeh ein tzarech legufo. The kivui over here is not goof purpose. Ela letzarech dava acher, but rather for all alternative reason. Shedlo tedlak hapsila. O shalo yipake haner. That the wick stop burning, or that the lantern doesn't break. The ein lecha kivui ad tzarech legufo ela kivui shepechamen. Now, in terms of what is a quote-unquote normal extinguishing, it was something that where I'm directing the extinguishing in order so that I could create coals. Kisha osin oso. V'kivu shol hivav psila she'kivu nase la ha'achiz bo ha'or maher. And as far as the only thing that mimics that, That's only going to be the actual wick itself, so that the next time you're lighting the wick, it will light quicker. That's the only productive kivui. Everything else is considered a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. And as a result of that, now we get to the machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayv, Rabbi Shimon says you're pater. And so the Tanakama of our Mishnah is therefore the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Here comes the problem. We go back to the Gemara. And now we continue reading in the Gemara, Reisha b'may eskinan. So now you go back to the first part of the Mishnah. So what are we dealing with over here? If the first half of the Mishnah is talking about chol sheyesh bo sakana mutar mibayilei, well then, if we're talking about somebody who's critically in danger, and that means that the extinguishing of the fire is going to help somebody and perhaps spare his life, save his life, so then the word, of course, the operating word in the Mishnah should not be pater, but rather should be mutar. Meaning, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds the malacha shein tzrich legufa is going to be chayav, but if somebody's life is at stake and we have an opportunity to save somebody's life, so then the reading of the Mishnah, the first part of the Mishnah, should be mutter. V'i b'chol she'in bo sakana. Now, if the first half of the Mishnah is talking about a chol she'in bo sakana, and we're assuming that the author of the first half of the Mishnah is also going to be Rabbi Yehuda, chayev chatos mi ba'ilei. So now we have no right to put out the fire. And putting out the fire when it doesn't save somebody's life is now going to be considered a malacha she'in tzrich legufa, but as we already established, the author of the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. So that means then that the level of chiyuv should be a chiyuv chatas. And so therefore the wording of the Mishnah should be chayuv. And so how are we reading the Mishnah? We don't have agreement between the first half of the Mishnah and the second half of the Mishnah with our assumptions that the Mishnah is going like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "V'olam b'chol sheyesh bo sakana." So the Gemara says, we're not changing any of our assumptions. The Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yehuda in total. Even the first half of the Mishnah. And the case in the first half of the Mishnah is a chol sheyesh bo sakana. And uvedinu delisne mutter. And the truth of the matter is that the better wording of the Mishnah should have been mutter. If we're saving somebody's life, so then that is absolutely permissible to do a malacha, any malacha, to save somebody's life. Va'aydi dabai limitz l'seifa chayev, tani nami reisha pater. And only for the contrast purposes of the Mishnah. Since in the second half of the Mishnah we're using the word chayev, because the second half of the Mishnah is in fact following like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore the first half of the Mishnah we're going to be using the word pater. Pater is the contrast to chiyuv. But in our particular Mishnah, pater over here is loosely interpreted. It does not mean that it is pater of al-asr. Pater just simply means in contrast to chiyuv. But here, because it's a chol sheyesh bo sakana, it is mutter legamre. V'hadni Rav Hoshea im b'shvil chola sheyishan lo yichbev im kava pater of al-asr. Now the Gemara says, now we do have a braisa of Rav Hoshea. And the braisa of Rav Hoshea says pater of al asr. It says it clearly, but the Gemara says that's fine. The braisa of Rabbi Hoshea, it doesn't have to fit into the construct of our Mishnah, and we can give an alternative shot in the braisa of Rabbi Hoshea. Ha'i b'chol she'im bo sakana v'Rabbi Shimon ha'i. The braisa of Rav Hoshea is following the position of Rabbi Shimon that a malacha she'en tzrich legufa is pater of al asr, and a chol she'in bo sakana, even though the malacha that I'm doing of kivui is for the purposes of the chola, but for a chola she'ein bo sakana, and I don't have the right to do a malacha if the person's life is not at question, and a chola she'ein bo sakana, by definition, his life is not in question. Nevertheless, the kivui is not done legufo. Doing it for a chol she'ein bo sakana is considered a malacha she'ein atzrich legufo. It's not the primary purpose of why it was done in the Mishkan. And so as a result of that, it is going to be pater aval asr. That could be the explanation of the braisa of Rabbi Hoshea. That kind of takes us through a better understanding of our Mishnah and an understanding of the braisa as well. We're continuing in the Gemara. Shal she'ela zula e'ela me Rabbi Tanchum demin navai. The following question was asked in front of Rabbi Tanchum. Ma'u lechabus. Butzina denura mikame biisha b'shabasa. Question over here was phrased in Aramaic. Is one allowed to extinguish a fire in front of somebody who is sick on Shabbos? The word biisha means a chola, and he's in a really bad way, meaning he's a chola sheyesh bo sakana. And is one allowed to put out a fire in front of such an individual? Now, granted, of course, that we just learned the answer in the Mishnah, but nevertheless, over here we're going to see Rabbi Tanchum give a somewhat elongated answer. I say somewhat elongated answer. Most of today's daf is going to be revolving around the answer. Now, as we're going to see together, that his answer is going to take a circuitous path, a significant circuitous path, but eventually we're going to roll around, and we, by the way, we already know the answer. The answer, of course, is if we're dealing with a choloshi, yesh bo sakana. If the sick person is critically ill, of course you're allowed to put out the fire. But nevertheless, the Gemara here is going to provide us Rav Tancho's answer in full. The Amar, and his response is as follows. Now, in order so that we appreciate and understand the response over here, Rashi just gives us one word of introduction to his answer. Pasach v'amar. Rashi, just a little bit above where we are in the Gemara. Rashi, kacha yurigim liftoach be'agada tchila, v'hudam l'sheila v'darash. So Rashi says that what happens over here is that he's speaking to the masses. And Rashi later on will say that in terms of who his audience is, so Ame Ha'aretz fill up his study hall, and so therefore he knows now that he's speaking to the masses, and as a result of that, so his answer is going to be flowery, to say the least. In other words, what he's going to do, he's going to deal in Agadata, and eventually he's going to get back to the Halacha. But being that this storytelling is a phenomenal way of encasing the Halacha within the storytelling and within the Agadata, so he knows that his audience is going to follow him and eventually understand his answer. And so we start off with the following, as now we know that he's going to be discussing Agadata extensively. And he says, Pasach V'amar, going back to the Gemara. So his response starts off like this, An Shlomo Mincha, An Chachmasecha. Shlomo HaMelech, where is your wisdom? An Suchlasanech, where is your Seichel? So Lo Deyechesh Edver Chasosim Divrei David Avicha. Not only Shlomo HaMelech are the words that are written within the Sfarim that you authored, not only do they contradict that which is said in your father's Sfarim, El Shedver Chasosim Zedzeh. You, Shlomo HaMelech, make statements that are self-contradictory. And David Avicha Amar, as far as David HaMelech says, In Sefer Tehillim Lo Amesim Yaluka, that the dead people have no longer an ability to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ve'at amart, and you say in your Sefer Koheles, v'shibeach ani es amesim, shikvar mesum, I give praise to those who died because they died already. And so therefore you are contradicting your father. Ve'chazar v'amart, and not only that, but in the same Sefer Koheles, you go on to say, ki lekelev chai hu tov min aryeh ames. The dog that's alive is in a better position than the lion who is dead. And so therefore, in terms of, is it better to be alive or is it better to be dead? David HaMelech says, La Mesim Yaluka. It's better to be alive because when you're dead, you no longer have the position to, you're no longer in a position to praise the Kadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, you, Shlomo HaMelech, say, Shibeach Ani Es HaMesim, that you're praising those who are dead because they died already. And at the very, so number one, you're contradicting your father. And number two, you're even contradicting yourself. Because comparing a dog which is alive which to a lion which is dead, the live dog is better off than the dead lion. And so Rabbi Tanchum raises these as issues that he's going to be discussing. So Lokasha. And Rabbi Tanchum's response goes like this, it's not contradictory. Had the Kama David Lo Amesim Yaluka. Hachi kamar lo'olam yasok adna b'torah v'mitzvos karm shi'amu shekem shemeis bato min ha'torah u'min ha'mitzvos v'ein la'kosh baruch hu shevach bo. As far as David's statement that it is better to be alive, it's because while being alive, a person has the ability to be involved in the study of Torah and the performance of mitzvos, after which point in time, he no longer has the ability to do so. So that's why it is better to be alive. V'hayna amar Rabbi Yochanan may dichsiv b'meisim chavshi. And Rav Yochanan darshins that in the Pasuk in Tehillim when it says that with death comes chofesh, kimishameis adam nasa chavshim in a Torah min a mitzvos. Once a person is dead, he is no longer has the ability, he's free from doing Torah and mitzvos. But obviously that's a bad thing because it's the Torah and the mitzvos that get us our portion in Olam Haba. Udikamer shlama v'shibeach ani es amesim shikvar mesu. So, and as far as Shlomo HaMelech saying that he praises the dead, Shekeshechatu Yisrael, so he's going to be offering now, Rabbi Tanchum, that is, a number of explanations of how, under certain circumstances, Shlomo HaMelech says, you know what, the dead are better off, but in limited circumstances. And we're going to go through three together. Number one, Shekeshechatu Yisrael b'midbar, when the Jews sinned in the desert, Amon Moshe, l'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu v'amar, kama tfilos v'sachanunim l'fanav, and Moshe davened and beseeched and entreated on behalf of the Jewish people. V'lo nana, and Moshe was not answered. Ukishamar Zechol Avraham Litzchak Liyisol Avadecha. And then when he employed Zchus Avos, and he made reference of the Avos who, of course, are no longer alive, Miyanena, he was answered immediately. And now you don't understand what Shlomo HaMelech was driving at? Meaning that Moshe Rabbeinu on his own could not muster the zchuyos in order to save the Jewish people. But when referencing to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the zchus avos was able to save. And that's what Shlomo HaMelech says, Shibeach ani es ha-meisim. That's why I'm praising those who died already. That's one understanding of the pasuk in Koheles. A second, Davar Acher. Menagor shel olam shel sar bas v'dam gozer gzeira. When you have a leader who is making a gzeira, Safik Mekayim Moso, Safik E Mekayim Moso, sometimes it is going to be Mekayim. It'll sustain it, sometimes it won't. V'im Tim Solom or Mekayim Moso B'chayav, Mekayim Moso B'moso, and Mekayim Moso. And meanwhile, even if, let's say, the leader has enough authority where he makes a gzeira and people listen, but that's only while he's alive, but not after he died. V'ilu Moshe Rabbeinu Gazer Kama Gzeros, V'tikin Kama Takanos, and meanwhile Moshe Rabbeinu made a number of decrees, and he made a number of takanas. V'kayamos heim la'olam ul'olamei olamim, and they endure in perpetuity. V'lo yafa amar Shlomo v'shibeach ani es ha-meisim, and so this is another way in which Shlomo HaMelech is expressing that he is praising those that died, specifically in this particular example where Moshe Rabbeinu made takanas, and they are enduring long after he died. Interesting Rashi over here. What are the takanas that Moshe Rabbeinu made? So Rashi over here just cites but one example. Rashi writes over here, Kiyahi didnibe Megillah. So the Rashi quotes the end of Maseches Megillah. Moshe tiken lahem liYisrael shi yusholim v'darshim minyano shel yom. That when you get to a particular yontov, Rosh Hashanah, and Sukkos and Pesach, so you should be darshaning about the yontov on the yontov. Now, the Gemara over there also notes that 30 days prior, so you should be learning the halachas of Yontif as well. And so, which one is it? On the day of, the 30 days prior. Good discussion amongst the Rishonim. Anyway, that's the one example that's cited by Rashi over here. Interesting that he cites that example. Must be a reason why Rashi points to that particular example. Back to our Gemara, as we are now on the second wide line of the Amud. Vishibech Ani, we are now up to our third explanation of what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he says that he praises the dead over those who are alive. Kid Rav Yehuda Amarav, Damar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Mai Dichsiv, the Pasuk. Asei mi oso tovav yirus or naivi yavoshu. So David HaMelech is asking, Kadosh Baruch Hu, is make for me a sign so that my enemy should see, my enemy should be embarrassed. Amar Davlif Nea Kadosh Baruch Hu, Rebbeinu Sha'olam Echoli al oso avon. David HaMelech says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, I need forgiveness over that particular avon. He's talking about his marriage to Bathsheba and the perceived eradication of her husband in order so that he can marry her. And the Gemara actually comes up here later in this Masechta, Dafnan Hay, the Gemara in Shabbos, discussing how we are to look at the Avon of David HaMelech with perspective and not to just simply say that he was a Chote, but nevertheless, in the Pesukim, in the Navi, and in the Gemara over here, still, there needs to be a certain amount of mechila that is accomplished. And he suffered over the course of his life because of this particular avon. So, Amar lo mechol lecha. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to David HaMelech, you are, in fact, forgiven. Amar lo aseimi os bechayai. And David HaMelech says that he wants to see a sign in his day in order to not only show himself, but to show others that he is, in fact, forgiven. Amar lo bechayecha eini meodia. Bechay Shlomo bincha eini meodia. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers that I will not do so in your lifetime, but I will do so in the lifetime of your son. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash and wanted to take the Aron and put it in its rightful place in the Kodesh HaKadoshim of the newly built Beis HaMikdash, Dafku Sha'arim Zeh B'Zeh, the gates of the Beis HaMikdash basically sealed themselves off and disallowed entrance to Shlomo HaMelech. Amr Shlomo Esrim Va'abar Rananos. Shlomo HaMelech said 24 paragraphs of Tehillim. V'lo ne'ne. He wasn't answered. Pasuk Va'amr Su'u Sha'arim Roshechem Anasu Pitzchei Olam. V'yavo Melech HaKavod. And now we're up to the 24th paragraph of Tehillim. And so presumably the Rananos over here is a reference to Tehillim, as now we're in Perek Chavdalin. and he says, I want the gates to open up, v'yavo melech hakavod, so that the melech can come in. Now, ratu basrei limivle, at that point in time, the gates were furious, because they thought that Shlomo, when he was referencing the melech, it was a self-reference. And they thought that what he meant was, is that I should be able to come in. Amru mi hu zemelcha kavod. And now, quoting the pasuk back in Tehillim, mi hu zemelcha kavod, who is this melech? Amru Hashem izuz v'gibor. So now Shlomo had an opportunity to clarify. He did not mean himself. He meant HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chazer v'amar su'u shar meshech musu pisrei alam v'yavo melech ha-kavod. Mi hu zemelcha ha-kavod, Hashem tzvaos hu melech ha-kavod salam. So fine, so now that he clarifies that he wants entrance so that the Aaron can come in, and so that it can provide more kavod for the Shechina, which is in the Beis HaMikdash. V'lo ne'ena, and still, the gates did not open up, and the gates did not respond. Kev sh'amar, Hashem lokim al teshe p'nei mishichecha, zachra l'chaste David avdecha. And then he says, please remember the chesed of David. It's at that very time that the gates responded. The gates opened up and allowed the Aaron to come in. This was the oath that was given by a Kadosh Baruch Hu to show that David HaMelech was in fact forgiven. And at that point in time, all the enemies of David HaMelech, who for years were saying that David HaMelech sinned and never was forgiven, so now this was an os gamor, it was a siman brura, that David HaMelech was in fact forgiven, and all the faces of the enemies turned and looked like the bottom of the pot, scorched and embarrassed. V'yadu kol am v'chol Yisrael shemachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu al oso avon. Everybody at that point understood that David HaMelech was in fact forgiven for the avon. V'lo yafar amar shlama v'shibeach ani esameisim shekvar mesum. And now, coming around full circle, this is going to be our third shot in the pasuk of Shlomo HaMelech praising those that already died. And in this context, praising David HaMelech, who already died, and meanwhile, the only reason why the Aron was allowed entrance into the newly built Beis HaMikdash was only because of the schus of David, and as an oath to show that David was in fact forgiven, and this is Shibech Ani Es HaMeisim. V'hainu dechsiv b'yam ha-shmini, and now we understand shot in the pasuk in Malachim, where a Chanukas Habayis, a dedication of the Beis HaMikdash was done. And it was on the eighth day of this dedication that Shlomo HaMelech blessed the Jewish people and sent them back to their tents. And as far as we're concerned, we're interested in the second half of the pasuk, Asher Asa Hashem LeDavid Avdoli Yisrael Amo. The good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for David. And now we understand in the context, what does that mean for David? Meaning the mechila that was done for David. As long as we quote this pasuk, the Gemara now goes on to explain. So they went back to their tents, they went back to their wives, and all of them experienced that their wives were in a state of tahara, and they were all intimate with their wives. They were happy because they had divine revelation. And the Tov Lev is that each one of the wives became pregnant with a male son. And for all the good that he did for David, that he was forgiven over that particular sin. And as far as the Jewish people are concerned, they also needed a slight mechila. Why did they need a slight mechila? Interesting. We've seen this a couple of times throughout Shas. It happens to be that Chanukas HaMizbeach was done over the course of Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And the dedication and the celebration occurred over Yom Kippur. In fact, the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash allowed Shlomo HaMelech a reprieve on Yom Kippur, on the fasting of Yom Kippur, and the Jewish people ate that particular Yom Kippur. Avon Yom Kippurim. Udikamer Shlomo Ki Lekelech Chai Hu Tov Min Aryeh. We're not up to that yet. Let me just, before we get there. And so what the Jewish people wanted to know was, were they in fact correct? Was Shlomo HaMelech in fact correct for celebrating over the course of Yom Kippur and eating over the course of Yom Kippur, and the mechila that's given for the Jewish people was that Shlomo HaMelech was in fact correct. A interesting psak, one that obviously never repeated historically, where they were allowed to eat on that particular Yom Kippur because that Yom Kippur involved the Chanukah of Mizbech, the dedication of the Mizbech. Okay, Adkan. That takes us now through a series of drushes that we have regarding Shibech and Yesem Esem, that he praised those that were alive. As we now continue, we are going to be dealing with another pasuk that we already saw earlier in Sefer Koheles, and that is, Kila Kelev Chai Hu Tov Min Aryeh Hames. The live dog is better than the dead lion. So the Gemara now is going to explain that pasuk, and that is based on a memra of Rav Yehuda Merav. Dam Rav Yehuda Merav, my dechsev, hodiyani Hashem, kitziu midis yamai, mahi. So what David wanted to know was, please let me know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, how I'm going to end, meaning how am I going to die? Umidas yamai mahi. And how long am I going to live for? Eda machadal ani. And I'd like to know how I'm going to stop. And the Gemara goes on to explain. The first thing I would like to know is how I'm going to end. How am I going to die? So the first response by Kadosh Baruch Hu to David HaMelech is, that is not how things operate over here. People do not know how they're going to end. That is part and parcel of the rules of living in this world. And David HaMelech says, fine, don't tell me how I'm going to die, but at least tell me when I'm going to die. So, Gzerihim Elefanai She'in Modiyim Midas Yamav Shal Adam. And so, once again, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, look, that's also part of the system, that while a person's living here on this earth, he does not know when he's going to die, and that's just simply built into the fabric of life on this earth. Ve'eda machadal ani amarlo. So, but at least tell me on which day of the week it is that I'm going to die. Right? That's the way Rashi understands it, and it'll be clear from the answer that's given that this is his third request that he made from Kadosh Baruch Hu. And interestingly enough, on this, Kadosh Baruch Hu gives him the answer. Amarlo b'Shabbos Tamos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that you're going to be dying on a Shabbos. And it is far from me to explain to you why HaKadosh Baruch Hu acquiesced to this particular question of the three questions. And why is this not a violation of the rules of knowing any information about when a person is going to die? So it is certainly interesting that he was given this information, but he was. And so he says that you're going to die on a Shabbos. Be'echa b'Shabbos. Sorry. Amos be'echa b'Shabbos. So David now thinks that perhaps he can renegotiate this deal of dying on Shabbos. So perhaps I can die on a Sunday. Now, why a Sunday as opposed to Shabbos? So Rashi over here says very pragmatically, because a person who dies on Shabbos, so they cannot deal immediately with your body. Your body, they're going to have to wait until Shabbos is over. And so therefore, if he dies on a Sunday as opposed to a Shabbos, so then there could be an immediate dealing with the body. And that is the request that David makes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar lo kvar higia machush lama bincha ve'ein machush nogaz bechavert afilo kamal le'nima. So the Gemara gives an answer that we already saw back in Brachos. And that is that when the clock changes, min ha-shamayim, in terms of who the next ruler should be, so at that point in time, it manifests itself immediately here on this earth. And once Shlomo HaMelech is assigned min ha-shamayim to be the Melech, so there could be no encroachment on that time, not even a hair's breadth of encroachment. And so therefore Shlomo HaMelech is slotted to start his rule on a Shabbos. So that means that you have to die on a Shabbos. Amos be'erev Shabbos. So David HaMelech still is trying to negotiate the day of the week in which he's going to die. And that is, why not die on a Friday? Amar lo ki tov yom b'chatzarecha me'elef. And to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response, a pasuk in Tehillim, one day is better than 1,000. And the Gemara goes on to explain. Tov li yom echad shata yoshev ve'osek b'Torah. One day of you, David HaMelech, learning Torah is better. Me'elef olo she'asid Shlomo bincha la'akriv lefanai agam b'mizbech. Will be better than 1,000 karbonos that are going to be offered by your son Shlomo in the future Beis HaMikdash. And so therefore, I'm not going to go one day without you having learned Torah, and so therefore not Friday, but rather a Shabbos. We are now on the top of Laman Amud Beis. Kol Yuma de Shabbos Ave Yasev Vigaris. Every Shabbos, David HaMelech would be spending from the beginning of Shabbos till the end of Shabbos learning. And in doing so, he is preventing the Malach HaMavis from taking over and taking his neshama. Rashi writes it very clearly. Have a Yasev Vigaris, the top Rashi. Shelo Yikrav HaMalach Mavis Eilav Sheatorah Megina Mimavis Kedamrin Besota. As per the Gemara in Sota, so Torah has a certain protective power, and over here, every moment that he's learning over the course of every single Shabbos, so he's being protected and he's not being taken by the Malach HaMavis. Back to the Gemara. Hahu Yuma Dabai Lemeinach Nafshei. So on the one Shabbos that it was actually time for the Malach HaMavis to come to take the Neshama of David HaMelech, Kamalach HaMavis Kamei Velo Yachulei. The Malach HaMavis could not do so. Because David HaMelech was just continuously learning over the course of the entire Shabbos. Amar Mai Avid Lay. And so he says, what can I do? Havale Bustana Achare Beise. Now there happened to have been a garden right behind the house of David HaMelech. Asa Malach HaMavis Salachu Bachish Bi'ilane. And so what the Malach HaMavis did is he shaked the orchard back and forth in order so that it produced a very loud sound. Nafik Lemichsei. And so David HaMelech went back to the orchard to see what was going on in the orchard. Salik Bedarga, he goes up the steps, he goes up a ladder. Ivches Darga Mitusei. While taking a step up the ladder, one of the rungs basically fell apart from underneath his feet. An ishtik, and in order to secure his footholding, so he stopped learning. And so we get a wonderful picture over here, a powerful picture. Is that even as he was seeing what was going on in the orchard, he still had girsa bepume. He was still learning. And it was only when he had to balance himself on the ladder that he got distracted and he was able to stop learning. V'nach nafshei. And so is the timely end of David HaMelech. Shach Shama Lebe Midrasha. And as we continue over here, Shlomo HaMelech is sent to the Beis Medrash. Sends a letter to the Beis Medrash, Abba Meis Umuto Bechama. And he's now going to ask two shilas in the Beis Medrash. Seemingly the two shilas have nothing to do with one another. But in a moment's time, we're going to understand how these two questions are juxtaposed one against the other. The first question he says is that my father is unfortunately, Rachmanis, he was Nifter. And all we have now is the remains of David HaMelech. And it happens to be that he's out in the sun. Because remember, David HaMelech died while in the orchard. So he's out in the sun. And the sun is going to ravage his body. It's going to decompose. It's going to accelerate the decomposition of his body. And what he would like to do is move his body. The problem, of course, is that a mace on Shabbos is muksa. And so, therefore, how are we to move the body out of the sun if the body, in fact, is muksa? Uklavim shel beis aba de'reivim. And on top of that, also the dogs, the royal dogs, are hungry. Ma e'aseh. And what do I do to feed the royal dogs? Shalchulei. So those two questions are the ones that were asked by Shlomo HaMelech in the Beis Medrash. As far as question number one is concerned, well, interestingly, and Rashi picks up on this as well, the questions were answered out of order. The second question is answered first. So over here to the question of how do you feed the dogs? Chatoch nevela v'hanach lifnei aklavim. Cut up nevela and feed it to the dogs. Meaning that these dogs are the responsibility of your father, now you to feed. And so therefore the nevela, the carcasses of dead animals going into Shabbos are not considered muksa, as they were designated as dog food going into Shabbos. And so therefore it's just simply cut up the nevela in order to feed the dogs. And then the avicha, now as far as your father's concerned, hanach alav kikar tinok v'tel talo. And what you're going to do is you're going to put either a loaf of bread or a baby on top of the mace. And so therefore you can carry agav the tinok, or agav the loaf of bread. And so as a result of that, a heter dispensation is given out, where one could take a non-muksa item, put it together with the muksa item, the mace, and move it. This dispensation we're going to be discussing later in the Masechta in much greater detail, but this dispensation was given out specifically so that a mace could be moved in order to prevent the nivel ha-mace, the decomposition of the body. Now, when these two questions were asked in the Beis Medrash, and these two questions were put side by side, so let's consider, number one, the question to the dogs were answered before the question of his father. And number two, as far as the muksa vis-a-vis the dogs, so a heter, a blanket heter, that you could just simply cut up the nevela for the purposes of feeding of the dogs. Masha'enke, when it comes to the remains of David HaMelech, so for that, there's not a blanket heter, but rather the mace can only be moved in conjunction with a kikar or a tinok, meaning you need a non-muksa item in order to move the muksa of the mace, even though in this case the muksa is the actual remains of David HaMelech. And now we understand pshat in the pasuk in Koheles. So we see that the live dog is in a better position than that of the Aryeh Mace over here, making reference to the remains of David HaMelech. That's the deadline. And that all was the Agarata of Rabbi Tanchum, taking us back to nearly the beginning of today's daf, in which he was explaining now all this Divrei Agarata. And now the question that was asked to him was the question of, are we allowed to extinguish a fire on behalf of a cholah sheyesh bo sakana? So he says, look, a fire is called a fire. And the neshama of a person is also referred to as a ner. Ner Hashem, Rashi quotes, ner Hashem nishmas adam. Right, the pasuk in Mishlei. So mutav tich ben ner shel basav adam, mimnei sher ner shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it is more valuable to extinguish the ner that's created by people in order to preserve the ner that it was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that means to say, put out the fire so that the person who is a sakana, a person who is critically ill, can hopefully sustain and survive. And that is Rabbi Tanchum's answer. Now, if that answer sounds a little bit strange in terms of the question of, is pikuach nefesh okay? So the answer should simply be, yes, pikuach nefesh should be fine. Why? Because the pasuk says, v'chai bahem. And that's the drasha. And over here, he's giving a very flowery answer. And look at Rashi over here, mutav tich b'neiro, lav mehacha yalef chilal Shabbos, to pikuach nefesh nafkalami, v'chai bahem. So Rashi writes very clearly, this is not the source. The source is the drasha, v'chai bahem. That's how we know about pikuach nefesh. V'lo shiyamos bahem. But over here, the answer that he gave was extraordinarily flowery. The nair that's created by man versus the nair that's created by Kadosh Baruch Hu, the neshama. It's a very flowery answer, but that he says Rashi is exactly his point. And in order to give an answer that really speaks to the heart, so he speaks in this allegoric sense, in this flowery language. But not because it's the source of the halacha, but simply it's the one that they're going to understand. And so many lessons to be learned from this Gemara over here, but most importantly, certainly to me, is the idea that when you're communicating to people, make sure that you communicate in a manner in which they understand. And if they need something to be put in more bite-sized pieces and sugar and coat it with a little bit of sugar, so be it. In other words, coat it with a little bit of sugar so that the audience understands that which you're saying. Amar Rav Yehuda Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Back to the Gemara, continuing in the Gemara. Bikshu Chachamim Ligno Sefer Koheles Mimnei Shedvarim Sosrim Zed Zem. So there was a movement to take Sefer Koheles and put in Geniza. Now it happens to be that recently here in our Masechta, we talked about the various Sifra Esfarim of Tanakh that were on the fence and were up for consideration of not canonizing, but just the opposite, putting in Geniza. Notably, earlier in this Masechta, we talked about Sefer Yecheskel that is, in certain places, contradictory to that which is written in the Torah. So they thought about putting Sefer Yecheskel in Geniza. So eventually, they did not, and they explained all the difficult psukim in Sefer Yecheskel. And now we're learning over here, the same thing is true regarding Sefer Koheles. A book that didn't make it into Tanakh, but nevertheless, at one point in time, was considered something that was so contradictory that it was to be removed from Tanakh, from the canon. And why did they not put in Geniza? So if you look at Sefer Koheles and the bookends of Sefer Koheles, look at the beginning and look at the end, so you see that it gives primacy to Torah. So in the beginning of Sefer Koheles, it says, what purpose is there for anything that we do underneath the sun? There is nothing purposeful in anything under the sun. However, Kodem Shemesh, but that which created was created before the sun. What was created before the sun? The Torah. So for the Torah, that was created before the sun, so Yeshlo, so there is Toelos, there is purpose. And so therefore, the thing that has value is the Torah. So far, Divrei Torah. Now, as far as the end of Sefer Koheles is concerned, so that also is Divrei Torah, Dichsiv, and here, says it Beferish. Sof Tavara, Kol Nishmaes, Ol Kim Yarei, Ve'es Metzor Sof Shmor, Kizek Kol Ha'adam. So you see at the end of Sefer Koheles also, the primacy of Torah. So the beginning and the end of Sefer Koheles speaks to the primacy of Torah. So therefore, ultimately, as difficult as Sefer Koheles is, and as difficult as some of the psukim are in Sefer Koheles, but we know, however, since it gives primacy to the Torah both in the beginning and the end, it is not to be put in Geniza. As long as we quoted this last pasuk over here, second to last pasuk, in Sefer Koheles, the Gemara now wants a little bit more clarity. Kizek kol adam, my kizek kol adam, Amar Rebbe Elazar kol am kula lo nivra ela b'shvil zem. The person who is engaged in the study of Torah, the world is created for that person. Rebbe Abba Bar Kahana Amar Shakul Zekenege Kol Ha'olam Kulo. This person is equivalent to the rest of the world. Shimon Menaze Omer Ve'amir La Shimon Men Zoma Omer Lo Nivra Kol Ha'olam Kulo Ela Letzavos Lezeh. The entire world was there to accompany this particular person who is involved, who is seriously involved in the study of Torah. Umay Dvar Sorsim Zed Zeh. Let's go back now, let's understand what makes Sefer Koheles so challenging. Ksiv. So the Gemara goes and cites a clear contradiction within Sefer Koheles. Tov ka'as mischoks. So on one hand, anger is better than that of joy, laughter. And uksiv, l'schok amarti mehalal. And then another pasuk in Sefer Koheles says that as far as schok is concerned, it's praiseworthy, meaning that a person should be in a state of joy. Uksiv, v'shibachti ani es ha-simcha. Another pasuk that speaks to the fact that I praise joy and I praise simcha. Uksiv l'simcha maze oseh. And then in another pasuk it says simcha. As far as simcha is concerned, what does it accomplish? And so therefore, when you're reading Sefer Koheles, so understandably now, we are all going to be confused as whether joy and happiness is something which is praiseworthy and something we should be trying to get ourselves to that kind of level of emotion, or on the other hand, is it futile? And right now, that's exactly the point of the Gemara. It's unclear. Lo kasha. But the Gemara says, here's the way the Chazal have resolved the contradiction. Tov kas mischok, tov kas shekos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu latzadikim olam hazeh, mischok shemesachek, HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'vashem ba'olam hazeh. So as far as the first pasuk in Koheles that we quoted, that anger is better than schok, so we're not talking about the anger of humans, we're talking about the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has on the tzaddikim, and the Yisurim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Tzaddikim in this world is greater than any joy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Rishayim in this world. Because obviously the purpose of the anger that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Tzaddikim and is in order to give Tochacha and in order to expunge any of the Averis that he may have, and so that he will receive more Olam Haba. Masha Enkin, the Tzchok that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to the Rishayim in this world, that's in order to exhaust whatever zechuyas he has in this world. Ulischok amarti mehalal. Continuing now and explaining the other psukim in Sefer Koheles, the pasuk that says that I praise chok, zes chok shemesachek Kadosh Baruch Hu imasadikim ba'olam haba. That's the joy that Kadosh Baruch Hu shares with the tzaddikim in the world to come. Vishibachti ani es simcha, simcha shel mitzvah. And as far as the Kadosh Baruch Hu praising simcha, simcha in conjunction with the mitzvah. Ulesimcha maze oseh, and when Shlomo HaMelech writes in Sefer Koheles that simcha is futile, zu simcha she'ino shel mitzvah. That's in reference to simcha which is not a mitzvah. Lelamdecha she'in shechina shora lo mitoch atzvos. As far as the shechina is concerned, the shechina does not occupy a person when he is sad. Velo mitoch atzvos, or not when he's lazy. Velo mitoch tzchok, and not when he's silly. Velo mitoch kalos rosh, and not when a person is just silly. So velomitoch sicha, and not out of idle chatter. Velomitoch dvar mitalim, and not from matters that are of no significance. Elamitoch davar simcha shel mitzvah. But rather, the true shechina is going to be shora on a person when the person is involved in a mitzvah. Shenemar v'atak chulim menagen v'ayakan agen menagen v'ati'elav yad Hashem. And when the menagen is playing, So at that point in time, he's going to have Yad Hashem. He will feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm a Rav Yehuda v'chein l'dvar halacha. The same kind of attitude should be involved when a person is involved in learning. Successful learning comes when a person is saying so out of simcha. I'm a Rav v'chein l'chalom tov. Also, good dreams come when a person goes to bed, b'simcha. So the state of simcha is critical to having hashras hashchina, and for proper learning, and for proper dreams. Eini the Gemara says, v'amar Rav Gidol, amar Rav, is this true? What, why don't we consider the following? Kol tamid chacham sheyoshev lefnei rabo ve'ein sifso sav notfos mar techavena. When you have a student sitting in front of the Rebbe, and his lips are not dripping of bitterness, meaning he's not absolutely petrified of his Rebbe, techavena. When the person goes and learns in that kind of frivolous state of mind, so that person is to be burnt. He should be burnt. Shenemar sifso sav shoshanim notfos mor. Over. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shir Shirim, and now we're going to explain. Al tikra mor over ela mar over. Rather, we're talking about the bitterness. Al tikra shoshanim ela shoshanim. And don't read as shoshanim, but rather shoshanim when you're learning. When a person is learning in front of his Rebbe, so he should have a sense of awe and trepidation. And lokasha haba rabba haba tamin. So the Gemara says, okay, the different emotions that are encapsulated in learning are going to be the contrast, the difference between the Rebbe and the Talmud. The Rebbe has to be in a state of joy. The Rebbe has to be besimcha. As far as the student is concerned, the student also has to understand the seriousness of the subject in which they're learning, and the student has to have the sense of awe and trepidation. So that is one way to understand the distinctions between the different emotions that people have when they're learning. Ibai Seima, another way to resolve the difference, Hava Haba Rabba, we're both talking about the Rebbe, V'lokasha HaMikam Deliftech, HaLabas Deliftech, DePasach. And we're talking about the opening remarks of the Rebbe versus the continuation. The opening remarks of the Rebbe should be one of joy. He should draw the Talmidim in. He should make jokes. He should be joyful. But then once the learning begins, the learning at that point in time needs to be serious. And the sense and the feeling that surrounds the room of learning should be at that point in time one of awe. Ki had the Rabba, the Gemara says, when Rabba himself, Mikamid de Pasak Lula Rabbanan Amar Milsa de Bichusa, Ubadche Rabbanan. So what he would do is he would open up with a joke. The Chachamim would laugh. Everybody now was comfortable. Lesov Yasef Be'emasa, Upasak Bishmaita. But then the learning began. And then the mood turned to a serious mood as the learning involved awe and a sense of seriousness and fear. V'af Sefer Mishle. And now, after having discussed Koheles extensively, we now turn our attention to Sefer Mishle as well. So there too we find that there are psukim that contradict one another. So why didn't they put in Geniza? Amr Sefer Koheles lav Einina v'Ashkechina Taima Hachanami la'Eininan. So we said that, look, Sefer Koheles. So we said that if we investigate Sefer Koheles, so we're going to walk away with a clear understanding of Sefer Koheles. So we're going to do the same thing with Mishle as well. And the assumption the Gemara is making over here, and this is also supported by the Gemara in Baba Basra, is that Mishle and Koheles are authored by the same author, by Shlomo HaMelech. And so therefore, if Koheles is not to be put in Geniza and is to be studied and understood, so we're going to assume that the same thing is true regarding Mishle as well. On one hand, we have a pasuk in Mishle that says that when a fool is talking to you, don't respond. Uksiv, and then another pasuk in Mishle, aneksil ki'ivalto. Answer the fool. And so what should be our response when we are approached by a fool? Lokash habi divrei Torah habi mili da'alma. And so the Gemara says one is referring to divrei Torah, the other one is mili da'alma. Ki hadahu adasa l'kamei de Rebbe. Someone came in front of Rebbe. Amar le'ishtecha ishti uvanecha banai. And he accuses him, your wife is really in fact my wife. Uvanecha banai, and your children are really my children. And these accusations, outlandish accusations, having to do with the fact that basically his children are mamzerim. Amar le'ritzonecha shetishtek kos shel yayin. And he says, would you prefer... would you like to sit down with me and drink a cup of wine? Shasa. And this fool drinks upaka, and he blows up and explodes. And really, it is an onishman of Shamayim. in that he had the kind of chutzpah that he spoke to Rebbe in that manner, and so therefore he just blew up. Ha'udasal kamed to Rebbe Chia. We have a similar story with Rebbe Chia. Amar lei imach ishti va'ata banai va'ata b'ni. And he says to him that really, your mother is really my wife and you're really my son. And again, the accusation of mamzerus, and here, even more chutzpah dik. He accuses Rebbe Chia of being a mamzer. Amar lei ritzoncha shetishte koshel yayin. And again, Rebbe Chia saw by his Rebbe, who performed this maneuver. And so Rebbe Chia employed the same maneuver. And he says to this fool, would you like to sit and drink with me? Shaso paka, he drank and he blew up. Am Rebbe Chia, ahanya leit flusa le Rebbe, dolo l'shavya b'ni mamzere. The Rebbe. So the tefillas of Rebbe were protective, so they did not make me a mamzer. So kihava matzli amar, I'm sorry, the Rebbe kihava matzli amar, because when Rebbe, he would daven, so he would say the following in his tefillah. And we saw this back in Brachos. So, Akash Baruch Hu, please protect me from the brazenness of people. And so that tefillah of Rebbe protected both Rebbe. It protected Rebbe Chia. Okay. And that is the way to respond to Eksil when he's talking about Divrei Ba'alma. So the response is no response. And just let it be. And I understand that we, you and I, don't have the zchuyos that Rebbe and Rebbe Chia do, where Kadosh Baruch Hu takes this person out nearly immediately. But nevertheless, in terms of the life advice, when a fool is bothering you about things that are of no significance, even if they're personal attacks, so the correct response is nothing, just let it go. However, b'divrei Torah mayhi. But if the fool is attacking the Torah, so then we have a holy obligation to defend the Torah. And there, kihad yasa Rabbi Gamliel v'kadarish atida isha shetela b'chol yom. And the Gemara gives examples where you see foolish people are making comments against the Torah. And there, our obligation is to respond and to defend. Rabbi Gamliel says that in the future, a woman is going to be giving birth every single day. Shenemar haravi oledes yachtav. And so, quoting the psukim in Yirmiyahu, speaking about the asil lavo, a future tkufa in which the world will change. Ligleg alav oso tamid, and oso tamid, a particular student was mocking Rebbe Gamliel. Amar ein kol chadash tachas hashemesh. Now it happens to be that he's asking a pretty good question, but he's not asking a question. Ligleg, he was mocking, he was ridiculing, and he says, look, there's nothing new that comes under the sun. Amalei bar v'recha dugmasam b'olam hazeh. Rabbi Gamliel says, what I'm saying is not unprecedented. And nafak achvelei tarnagolas. He showed him a hen. A hen lays an egg every single day. And so it's not a davar chadash, tachas hashemesh. This is not new. It is true that it's new vis-a-vis, as regards to humans and the way they gestate. But nevertheless, the idea, the concept is not unprecedented. And so Rabbi Gamliel's response to this to the scoffer. V'su yasav Rabbi Gamliel v'kadar shasin milana she motzi in peres b'chol yom. And then another drasha of how the world will look like la'asil lavo, and that is that the tree will be producing fruit every single day. Shenemar v'nasa nava asapri ma nava b'chol yom afri b'chol yom. Just like branches form every single day, fruit is going to form every single day. Ligleg alav oso tamin. And once again, the student starts making funny, mocking. Amar v'aksi v'en kol chadash tachas hashemesh. His question now is the same question. Now again, asked with sincerity and with respect, the question would have been a good question. But ligleg, he was mocking, he was scoffing. Amar le'bav v'recha dugmasam olam hazeh nafak achle le'tzlaf. And he says, look, let me show you the caper bush. The caper bush that we discussed extensively back in the sixth parak of Brachos. And it has many facets of it that are edible. The large berries, the small berries, the leaves, many parts of it are edible, and they keep reproducing nearly on a daily basis. And so therefore he showed them the slough bush. So Rabbi Gamliel's response over here, the same thing, it's not unprecedented. V'su yasav Rabbi Gamliel v'kadarish atida Eretz Yisrael shetotzi glus kaosu kli milas. And eventually Eretz Yisrael is going to be producing finished rolls of bread. And also wool robes. All that is going to come right out of Eretz Yisrael. La'asa lava shenemar. Yehi pisas barba eretz. And there is going to be the bread that's going to be produced. And pisas. And clothing that's going to be produced. the right from the word ksonas pasim. Ligle galav osa tamid, and as to be expected. So the student once again scoffs at Rabbi Gamliel va'amar in kol chadash tachas Hashemesh amar le barvi achaduk masam olam hazeh, and he says, look, I'll show you in this world. And ach vele kemenu patrios. So first of all, he showed him fungus that were growing, mushrooms and other other fungi, where basically it grows overnight and it's prepared. The achle milas navra bakura. And as far as the milas, so he showed him something that kind of looked like this clothing. Navra bakura, Rashi says siv. It is basically the protective layer that grows around the decal. And it grows nearly on a daily basis. And it's not the clothing, but at least it's something that is a covering to the palm tree. And so therefore, the idea that a covering can grow from the ground, so it's not unprecedented. And so therefore, he showed him a number of precedented items that, in fact, are going to at least be indicative of the fact that in the future, bread just going to grow right out of the ground and clothing is going to grow right out of the ground. Recapping our daf today, we learned the Mishnah together about putting out a fire on Shabbos. If doing so in order to save a life, that is mutter legamre. It is perfectly permissible. As far as the Mishnah is concerned, when the Mishnah discusses putting it out in order to protect, for financial protection, you want to save the lantern, the oil. So under those circumstances, that is a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa. It's a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, subscribes to the viewpoint of Rabbi Yehuda. A malacha she'en tzricha legufa is chayev, and therefore the Mishnah writes, the Tanakhama of our Mishnah writes that it's chayev. Rabbi Shimon would not say that it's chayev. Rabbi Shimon would say that it's pater aval aser. And parenthetically, by the way, I'm not sure if I made this point very clear when we learned the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah is in fact following the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon. Okay. And as far as a very brief overview of the remainder of today's daf, first, a clarification of the Mishnah, which we just went through in terms of who is our Mishnah following like. And then the question that was posed to Rabbi Tanchum, that if somebody is a Chol HaSheish Bo Sakana, are you allowed to put out the fire for such an individual? Now, the short answer is yes, but he did not give the short answer. He gave an extraordinarily long answer. He spoke in Divrei Agadata, and as we learned a couple of times in the course of today's daf, he was speaking to the masses, and he knew that the masses were drawn in by Agadata. So he spoke out Divrei Agadata, and then he finally gave the answer. Through the Agadata, we clarified whether or not it is better to be alive or to be dead. Conflicting reports in Shlomo HaMelech, in his various farim, in terms of whether it's better to be alive or to be dead. And then, on the Amud Aleph, we basically gave different approaches in terms of, generally speaking, it's better to be alive because you could do mitzvos. However, there are limited circumstances where he praises those that are dead. And the Gemara went through three different scenarios in which he did so. Another pasuk in Sefer Kohelet, better to be a live dog than a dead lion. What's pshat in that pasuk? So we went through that as well. At the end, Rabbi Tanchum, we turned to the Amud Beis and review the Amud Beis. Rabbi Tanchum finally gave the answer that, of course, you put out a fire in order to preserve somebody's life on Shabbos. He gave a flowery answer, a very sugary answer. But he did so because, as Rashi explained, he was speaking to the masses. And so rather than giving the basic halacha with the basic drasha, the chai behem, pikuach nefesh, so he gave a flowery answer, better to preserve the nair of a Kadosh Baruch Hu over the nair that was created by Basar Adam. The nair of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the neshama. So that is that has more value than the nair that's created by Basar Adam. And so therefore you put out the nair of Basar Adam in order to protect the nishmas, the neshama of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. And then for the remainder of today's daf, we talked about how there was a movement to put Kohelis in Geniza because of the contradictory psukim. It starts with Torah, it ends with Torah. It's part of the canon in terms of the contradictory psukim, so we dealt with it. And the same thing is true regarding Sefer Mishlei. It also has contradictory psukim, and we dealt with that this morning as well. Tomorrow we pick it up at the bottom of the Amud.